it's very interesting when God gives you something that's not normal. And it takes a lot of time and takes a lot of seeking the Word and to see really that you're not crazy or you're not insane, because it's not the prototypical thing. But when we use that scripture all the time, the violent take it by force, kingdom suffers violence and the violent take it by force. And the problem is a lot of people take that scripture and they turn it and they treat it certain ways because of the words that are used. But you really have to be a Berean, as pastors encouraged us before, and you really got to seek and find out what does that really mean. And violent actually is not meaning like a violent act. It's actually radical. It's being something that isn't the prototypical mold. It's being something that is going above and beyond or extreme to an extent that isn't what normally would be done. And what God's given me to share with you guys, and it's probably going to be three, I don't know, so don't quote me, but today is just the introduction of it, is taking a strategy, something that's been ingrained in us, and it's been ingrained from the church, it's been ingrained in society, in the government, in politics, in every single aspect of our lives, and we're led to believe that this is the way we're supposed to behave or how we're supposed to act. But it actually isn't really what God's saying. It's something different. And so we're going to dig deeper in here, and we're going to see what God's really saying. So let's start with just some basic questions. How many people would here today agree that we're in dark times? Okay? We've been afflicted by dark times. We were a part of it before we got saved. Amen? Right? Okay? Some of us are still struggling. Some of us are still dealing with darkness that's in our heart. And these are the dark days that were promised. Were they not? Did the Word not talk about this? Were we not warned of what would happen when the dark times come? We'd be put against our brothers and our sisters, or mother against father. This is real, right? We're in the midst of this, okay? So, if we are in agreement that we're in dark times and we're in dark days, and we're agreeing that this is an actual case, then take a look around you and look at beyond just your four walls, because the reality of it is, in darkness is actually affecting us, but it's affecting us globally. It's affecting our nation currently. Watch the news. You don't think it's happening? It is. Okay? But let's even get closer. It's happening in our regions, in our towns. It's happening locally in Williamstown. It's happening in houses of your friends and your relatives, in your families. And in some cases, it's in the church. Can we agree? Do you believe that there are churches out there that are preaching false gospels? You should. And leading thousands and thousands and thousands of people astray with false messages and false doctrines. Because they believe what they believe is true. The reality of it is if we're in dark times and we're actually in a very problematic situation, the biggest problem we have is that the body of Christ has taken on a position and implemented a strategy that actually is not going to help or hinder this issue. It's actually going to allow us to become more afflicted, more affected, more put under the pressures of these dark days. And eventually, when push to a limit, what happens? You'll break. And this breaking isn't the same breaking that we're talking about. This isn't the brokenness of God we're talking about. This is a breaking that actually pushes people to leave and walk away from God. This is a breaking that, if not attended to, could be catastrophic. Churches fall apart because of this. And you can ask pastor. And within our actual network, we've had pastors who've been pastoring for 30 plus years break because of this. So what's the issue? Well, the problem is starting with the current strategy. What is the current strategy that we have been implementing? Because if this is happening within the church itself, and it's happening within our network, it's happening in our houses, it's happening That means that we have a strategy we've been implementing, but it's actually not working. Right? Because if it's working, we wouldn't have these results. So let's take a look at the current strategy. It's a scripturally based strategy. And some of us have actually been a part of, or have been actually recipients of this strategy in our walk. Some of the older generation, not me, but some other, you know, people may have actually had this happen. There was a movement that actually would go out and tell you that if you do not accept Jesus Christ right now as Lord and Savior, you will burn in hell. How many people heard this message? Okay. Is that true? It's not entirely true. There's truth in it, but it's not entirely true. And the reality of it is that they took Scripture and they utilized Scripture to build this message, but what's the strategy? Fear. Now, I don't know about you, but my God does not use fear to get His way. Right? What's He use? Love. Okay? So if it's not fear, then that's a tactic of who? It's a tactic of the enemy. Yet, we govern the scriptures to turn around and utilize a tactic that the enemy has implemented from the garden. The strategy is actually a strategy of an attack or a strategy of an offensive strategy. One that actually utilizes the word of God as a weapon of warfare. It is a weapon of warfare, is it not? But we're using it the wrong way. And that was a prime example and a prime case that actually did have people come to Christ. But it also turned many others far, far, far away without even a blink. So the strategy is not actually doing what it's supposed to do. The idea of this strategy and where this strategy comes from, it actually comes from the same tactic of the enemy and the same tactic that is utilized, but it's a tactic of darkness. And now, when we turn around and we read Scripture, it says, who are we? We're not darkness anymore, right? We came out of darkness and now we're light, okay? So if light is opposed to darkness and I'm now in light, I should not be utilizing tactics that emulate darkness. Because light does not behave like darkness. Okay? So, if light behaves in total opposition, right? Because they're opposites. Are they not? Okay? There's a line of division when God created light and dark. They're separated. Light opposes darkness. Darkness opposes light. They are complete opposites. Well, if we have already discerned that darkness and the strategy of darkness is one that is attacking, is oppressing, it's one that actually goes after you, it chases after you, it uses fear and manipulation and control, then what should the strategy of those who are in light be? See, the idea is the strategy is actually changed, and when we look at it from a principle of light and dark, we'll actually start to understand that there's a huge dynamic that people are missing. We understand light, and we say, you know, we love, and we're going to love on you like, you know, like Jesus loves all of us, and we get in this big hug fest. But is that really what people need? How many people here need a hug? Okay, well, come later. We'll give you a hug. Okay? But not people out there. There's a lot of people out there that won't even let you get close to give them a hug. They may need a hug, but they're not going to let you get in. They're not going to, that force field's up. Okay. So let's take a look at the condition then. We understand that this is the current strategy, but what's the condition? Where are we at currently? Okay? It's like a litmus test. You kind of have to see where you're at. Alright? How many people believe that we're losing this battle? Well, first of all, let's talk about what the battle's for. Who's the battle for? Right, lost souls. Right? They are in a constant fluctuation. Right? They're like in a big tug-of-war match, okay? A big tug-of-war match, all right? Those are far away from God, okay? We'll change our vernacular, okay? But their soul is in a constant fluctuation. in a tug of war match, okay? If that's what we would say is the account of whether or not we're winning or losing, could we say we're not winning the battle? You would say that, right? I would say that. I would definitely say that. So if we're not winning the battle, then maybe what's wrong is the condition that we currently have, and the perception of what we're actually doing is wrong. Okay, so we're gonna take a look at what light is, but first I want to turn to James 1, because this helps kind of explain what our condition is. And some of you guys may already know this. 13 through 15. It says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted by his own evil desires. He is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Every single one of us struggle with temptation every day. Yes? Yes? Okay. So if we're being tempted every day, and that temptation can breed death, because it leads to sin, and sin breeds death. If every single day you're tempted, and every single day you're under attack, what do you think you should start implementing? See, the strategy has been, I need to do what? I need to fight back. I need to get after the man. I need to get after, I have to get in the enemy's face. I got to go in there and put my boxing gloves on. We're going to duke it out, me and him. Because I don't like the fact that he's messing up my life. I don't like the fact that he's getting in my face. I don't like the fact that he's hurt my family or he's doing X, Y, and Z. So I'm going to pull out my sword and I'm going to decapitate him. You, but I can go through a whole bunch of scripture and walk through Jesus, and I never seen that happen once in my entire read through ever. I didn't see him use it, not like that. So what did he do? Well, we talk about how he loved them. The reality is the strategy that we implement is a strategy of attack. We strategize with this offensive strategy. We got to fight back. We have to come out and fight. That's not the actual opposition. That's a strategy of darkness. The strategy of light is one of what then? If the strategy of darkness is an offense, then the strategy of light is a defense. And the reality of it is that we have not actually come to grips with the fact that maybe the reason why we fail and the reason why we don't get anywhere is because we omit defense. We're playing football, and there's two offenses on the field. How well is that game going to end? That's going to be the worst game you ever watch, ever. Period. No, it won't even be that. It won't even be high scoring, because both teams want to have the football. Who gets the ball? So you have a problem, okay? The reality of our current situation and our current condition is we act and talk and walk and do the things that darkness does. And we complain about the problems when they actually manifest themselves. We actually complain to God. God, why is this happening to me? God, why am I having so many issues with my bills? God, why am I having an issue with my husband and my wife? Depending on your sex. Why is this happening? Well, did you ever think maybe because you're actually entertaining those things that actually implement that strategy, that offensive strategy, you're not behaving like light. If you behave like light, you actually surround yourself with light, and light will surround you. So the strategy has to change. We can't go in thinking that I can go in guns blazing and I'm going to take out the whole platoon of Satan's little demonic forces. And I'm going to be the hero. After all, Christ is in me, right? I can use that power. Because I have the authority to do so, right? You do, but you haven't even learned how to protect yet. Anybody will tell you. If you've had anybody who's been in sports, what do you learn first? How to protect yourself. Because any given moment, any given time, somebody's going to try and take you out. They're going to try and hurt you. Because if you're off the team, they have a better shot at winning. Do you ever think about that? Do you ever think you're part of a bigger thing? You're part of a bigger team? And when the enemy's messing around with you, he's just trying to take you out because you actually affect the whole team. Did you know that, Dylan? You're important to this team? Do you know that the enemy's going to try and take you out because that'll affect everybody else here? You got to protect yourself. But we don't. Why don't we? Well, I tell you, really, the major one reason why, because, and I've sat with some of the men, and a lot of the men will probably raise their hand and say, yeah, you're right. We believe defense is weak. Believe it's passive. It's not actually doing anything. You're taking a back seat. Right? After all, that's what we've seen in our own lives. Some of us have probably even seen it from our dads. Our dads didn't protect us. Our dads didn't do this. They taught us how to fight. They taught us how to stand up for ourselves. You got to defend yourself. Well, how do you defend yourself? Well, you got to hit them first. Right? They didn't teach you how to actually protect yourself. They just taught you how to fight back. Like, that's defense. That's not defense. That's not at all what it is. What else will happen is that we actually get a machoism. To supplicate, because we have to feel tough. We have to feel like we got it together. So how does that work? Well, I'll even use the church as an example. I'll use praise and worship as an example. We'll shout to God louder than anybody else in the room because we got our stuff together. We'll make bold declarations. We'll turn around and we'll go out there and we'll go, I'm gonna turn around and talk to this person about God, and I'm gonna lay hands on them. I'm gonna cast out a demon in Jesus' name. Because that's what God wants to do. You didn't even ask God what he wants to do. Did you think about that? Maybe that person doesn't even need that. Did you ever think that maybe there's something bigger? And I hear it all the time. Oh, well, you know, the Old Testament. They all went and they all fought in all the wars and the battles in the Old Testament. I turned around and I said, the land was promised to them. And the way God sees things, it was already theirs. They just had infiltrators that were already in their land. They needed to kick them out. That's how you defend. You can't have rogues in your home. You protect your house. That was their house. What are we doing? Do we do the same thing? Do we actually stand up and protect what God actually protects? I'll give you another example. Christ died for who? He died for you, me, and every other person out there in the world. So in all actuality, everybody actually is already saved. They're just oppressed. And they haven't actually come to the realization that that's a fact and that's a truth in their life. Who's going to defend them from the enemy attacks that are keeping them in darkness? Did you ever think that they're actually still in it? Just like you and I were. Somebody decided to come and stand in the gap for you and take a couple shots just to give you enough time that you could actually see the brightness and the light of Jesus Christ and come to a waking reality that it's bigger than you. It's defense. It's not offense. Defense. And if you really do have that struggle and belief that defense is passive, we have a really awesome example that just happened not too long ago in February where two teams won on the field, and one was a strong offensive-minded team known as the Denver Broncos. And the other team was a strong defensive team known as the Seattle Seahawks. And that game was ugly. And defense won. Big time. Now, I ask the guys in here, I'll go, do you think that defense was passive? Did that defense seem weak to you? Did that defense seem like it couldn't do something? Obviously not. So the defense that God's talking about isn't your mentality of defense. The defense that God's talking about is actually strategically sound. It's strategically planted, and it's already being implemented. The problem is we're too busy using the tools that he's already provided us for the wrong reasons. Because we're busy walking around with a strategy that stinks. We're walking around with a strategy that says, I got all this equipment, I'm ready for battle. That's not what you're supposed to be wearing it for. You're actually supposed to be wearing it to protect those that don't have it on yet. Turn to Ephesians. Ephesians 6. I think most of you guys probably already figured this one out. It's not a secret. But it's not always interpreted correctly. Oh, that was wrong. How to do that? Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against authorities and against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when that day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. After you have done everything to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. I did not hear in that at all, ever, once, that after you got all that armor on, go out and slay the world of demons. Did you? Did it say, go take back that land that was stolen from you? Fight back. Power to the people. It's not there. The only thing that we're told to do after we get this armor on is what, Dan? And pray. That's it. What kind of attack strategy is that? Because it's not one. That's why. That's actually a defense strategy. If you know about anything about prayer, you know one thing for certain. And we've learned, we sat here and had intercessory prayer meeting in this building for two straight days, or two Wednesdays. And we learned something really valuable, and hopefully we retained it about prayer. It's bigger than you. And it's not for you. It's bigger than you, and it's not for you. It's for everybody else. It's for your pastor. It's for your apostolic covering. It's for the kingdom of God. It's for all the lost ones out there. People that are far away from God. I'll get there. That's who it's for. It's for people that struggle with addictions. It's for people that need to actually have the protection because they don't have the armor. The armor of God is for your protection. It's for you. It's a gift from God that He's given to each and every one of us after we come into that good saving knowledge of Jesus Christ to equip ourselves to protect us so that we can stand our ground and so that we can pray. Because the moment you take your stance and start praying, guess what? He's coming after you. Because you're a problem to him now. You're a problem to the enemy now. And if you don't have your armor checked, and you don't have all of it equipped, he's going to find that one spot that's open, and he's going to hurt you. Because he don't like you. He doesn't like what you're doing. He doesn't like what you stand for. He doesn't like your position, and he sure doesn't like your strategy. Because it opposes his. But it's so easy for us to get dressed in this war memorabilia and put on that war paint and get ready for a battle, thinking that we have to go and stand on the front lines. We have to go and stand and fight. If I'm not mistaken, ain't the battle already won? Battle belongs to the Lord, amen? And he won. All he needs now is for you to stand on that ground and hold it. And be alert. And be on guard. And be on watch. Because the enemy is going to come. He's going to come like a thief in the night. Who's going to stay up late and pray? Who's going to stay up when God says, get up, I need you to pray right now because the attack is coming? Who's going to wake up and respond? The enemy's going to prowl like a lion looking to seek out and destroy and devour those who are weak and those who are left behind. Who's going to pray for them? Who's going to stand and guard and watch them? How many people here pray for your kids? Do you know that every day you send them off to school, the lion is prowling around them every single day, looking to devour them? With temptations, with evil desires. Do you pray for your kids? Do you pray for them all the time? The second they get on the bus, you should be in prayer until the second they come back into your arms, because they need your defense. You could say, well, Gary, that's really easy. You don't have kids. Do you know I pray for your kids? Because I love your kids as much as you do. Because that's the next generation of warriors that are going to need to know how to defend their kids. Who's going to stand up and defend them? Then you got the really tricky one. Because he comes like an angel of light, looking to give that apple and deceive. To turn the word of God and twist it in your ear before it even gets there. To make you think that what you're about to do is what God told you to do. And in reality, you're sowing seeds of destruction in your life, in your house. You're sowing seed that's going to reap a crop and a harvest that's going to actually cause great heaviness for everybody in your house. Who's praying for them? The reality of it is, the strategy has been offense. And the reality of that offense is we have a do mindset. We have a do mentality. We have to be about works. Well, you know, it says, well, show me your faith by your works, Gar. That's what it says. I read that all the time. Pastor tells me that all the time. I have to show him by my works. I have to show my faith by my works. But you haven't learned how to be yet. And you want to be? You got to learn how to protect what's around you. You have to learn how to protect yourself. Because you can't do anything if you're out of commission. And if you really want to know what the biggest deception is the enemy would love to have every single one of us running around chasing our own tails. Worrying about our own problems, worrying about our own issues, worrying about our own things, worrying about our bills, our finances, worrying about what Aunt Susie's going to do with her broken toe. Just think real hard about what God's really trying to do here. The actual equipment that God's given us, which is where we're going. Actually, each and every part of that equipment is geared and shifted into a position that actually sets up not just a protection, but a way that actually is kind of in that same realm of that Seattle defense. That it's a counter. Every single time the enemy comes in like a thief, he comes like a lion, he comes like an angel of light, he's coming after you because you're doing what God's told you to do, that armor, when fine-tuned, immediately repels anything that he can do. Every single part of the equipment that he has, when it's in its current, when it's polished, when it's sharpened, when it's pressed in and fitted nicely, tightly against your body, when you wear it correctly, everything the enemy can do to you bounces right off. Because at that point, you're in the fullness of God. You stand fitted with the armor that he provided. That's his covering. We call it righteousness. But in reality, people have a mentality to do righteousness, and they haven't learned how to be righteousness. And the only way you can be righteousness is to fit yourself with His equipment. Because you can't acquire this equipment on the black market. You can't acquire this equipment through actions. You can't earn it. You can't make it happen through deeds. There's no way you're getting it except for sitting here in His Word and believing that you are it. And then going and seeking Him and finding out how you need to put it on, how you need to guard yourself. And once you're in that position, look out. Because you want to talk about being that torch or that fire that's going to spread. There's all these individuals, like I said, that are already saved, but they don't have somebody defending them. God's going to start showing you who to defend. He's going to start showing you who to stand up for, who to go and protect. That's where the bridges come. That's how Jesus Christ will reign supreme in this world at the coming end, because His people are going to take their position on the right side of the field for once and stop playing for the other team. Because they have an offensive mindset and think that that's the way we have to win. No, you're not going to win that way. You're going to win when you get on the other side of the field. Learn to stop the enemy's attacks. And learn how to counter, pick the ball off, and run it in the end zone. Strip the ball away from his hands. Because if he don't have it, guess what he can't do? He can't score. And believe it or not, the final score is 6,750,000,000 whatever to zero. Because he loses. Because it's already over. The only problem is the clock's running and the game's still on. But you got to make a decision. Are you going to keep implementing the strategy that puts you on the other side of the field? Or are you going to implement the strategy that's actually going to start putting you on the right side of the field? That's your decision. But what I can tell you is that what God's given me and what God shared with me is to go in and take a look at the pieces of the armor, to take a look at each one. And hopefully I can do 3 and 3, I don't know. We'll see. But I can tell you this. This is what God wants for His people. He doesn't want us fighting a fight that's already won. He wants us to finally start protecting what He's already died for. Amen? Amen. Father God, I just thank You, Lord. Thank You, God, that You've given ears to listen, God, and hearts that can be changed, God. I ask You, Lord, to just continue to minister Your Word, God. That, Lord God, You would just continue to let it do its work, God. Let it not be my words, God, but Your words, God. And just ask, Lord, that You would just continue to just reveal Your work in these dark days, God. So that we can just continue to take on the field on the right side of the field, God. We just thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.